Been good to us, hasn't he? Praise the Lord, I tell you. I'm excited to be a Christian tonight, and I'm excited that he's called me to preach. For the life of me, I don't know why he did that, but I'm sure glad he did. I'm having the time of my life, I'll be honest with you. Take your Bible, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, please. We're giving you Paul's final message, part number 2 tonight, and believe it or not, we're not going to get through it. It's going to be another part, God willing, on Sunday night, probably. The Lord guiding my thoughts and all these things. But we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This has been our New Testament book. And I'll try to have an Old Testament book going, a New Testament book going, and a topical series going. We're in Esther in the Old Testament, 2 Timothy in the New Testament, and the Bible Mountains as our topical series. And we've come to the end of this book. I was talking to Miss Brenda today about how there's a sense of accomplishment when you come to the end of a book. But at the same time, it's a little bit sad because you've been in it for so long that you almost hate to leave it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, for our reading, we'll begin with verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now, I know what you're thinking if you were here Sunday night now. When I said do thy instead of do thy there, but do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. To Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca, or Priscilla there, and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. I know what you're thinking. How in the world can he get 3 messages out of that? The fact of the matter is, it's jammed, packed, full of practical truths for us tonight. Again, I give you Paul's last message, part number 2. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. May the will of God be done. Help us, I pray. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of this is repeat. Let me go on. Let me open up this message by saying it's been a wonderful journey through this blessed book. Paul has been an outstanding servant of the living God. He has taken missionary journeys and led many to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithfully preached the Word of God without fear or favor of man. He's been considered one of, if not the greatest Christian to live. Now, in this book, we're reminded that he is currently in a Roman prison cell, the Mamertine prison, awaiting his execution by decapitation. Throughout this book, we see his desire for the young preacher Timothy to take the torch of God's truth and carry it on faithfully. Paul knows he's nearing the end of his journey. He knows he's about ready to die. And throughout this book, we can hear his burdened heart for the things of God. Now, these verses that we have before us are the last words that the Apostle Paul will ever write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It's with this thought that we're considering Paul's final message. Now, in this message, there are 3 major things I see, and we're right in the middle of the first one. The first one that we noticed, and I'll just repeat some of this because it's got 14 points under it. We notice, number 1, the list of the people. The first thing we notice about Paul's final message is the list of people that he gives. Now, he notices and he mentions 14 different people. Now, notice that one of them that I'm not going to mention to you, he's the 15th one, but he's all by himself, and that's the Lord. We'll bring him out under point number 2. But under this list of people here, Paul is mentioning a network of people that has surrounded him. Now, in this list that he mentions, there are faithful people, there's unfaithful people, there are friends, and there are enemies. This list consisted of people who were part of the Apostle Paul's life and ministry. And you know, in the same way tonight, folks, life and ministry today are made up of these same types of people. Now, as we work through this list, I've already given you seven. I'm just going to mention those seven again and just give you the main thought with it. Then we'll hone in on point number eight. First of all, we mentioned Timothy, because in verse number 9, he's speaking to Timothy when he says, "Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly." Under that, we notice that all of us should try to mentor somebody else that we can help along life's way. I've already preached on this, so I'm just hitting the high points. Number 2, we notice in verse number 10, the man by the name of Demas. Demas was one who started right, but he ended wrong. And I'm encouraging you on that to learn that major lesson. Number 3, we notice a man by the name of Crescens in verse number 10. Now keep in mind that there is some disagreement as to why Crescens was not there, but Paul does not identify Crescens as loving this present world like he did Demas. So I submit to you that I believe he's out serving the Lord at this time. And the point that we're bringing out is he's not very well known. Not many people know the name Crescens. And that teaches us that there are those who are working behind the scenes. God bless them for it. Then number 4, we notice a man by the name of Titus in verse number 10. Titus is a man who is well known. There are those who work behind the scenes. There are those who are put up in front of people. And whether you're working behind the scenes in private or you're working in front of scenes in public, we all ought to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Then number 5, we notice a man by the name of Luke. He was a doctor, yet God used him in a great way. And we learn how God gifts people with certain things to help further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number 6, we notice the man by the name of Mark. He started wrong, but he ended right. Demas started right and ended wrong. Mark started wrong and ended right. And we're learning that God is a God of second chances. Aren't you glad of that? Then number 7, we notice a man by the name of Tychicus. And in that, we saw how he was a messenger boy, and he would simply deliver the word of God to different places. That's who you and I all ought to be like, is Tychicus. Now, we start with point number 8 under first point number 1. And that is, we go to the next person in the list of people. And that is found in verse number 13. It's a person by the name of Carpus. Notice what the Bible says, the cloak, or the coat, if you will, that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Now, for some reason, Paul is wanting his cloak. By the way, the Lord is interested in your physical being as well as your spiritual. Your spiritual being is top priority. Doesn't mean God wants you to be healthy all the time, but God does care about the frivolous things too, if you will. He's interested that Paul is cold at this time. And for some reason, Paul asked for his cloak to be brought, his books to be brought, and the parchments especially. It's interesting to note how this man is named that we don't know hardly anything about. However, we see that these things, now get this now, these things belonging to Paul were in this man's house. Now, this lets us know that Paul was a welcomed person in this household. Whether the church met there or Paul just passing through, Carpus, now get this, folks, he was one who opened his home to the messengers of God. He was a man of hospitality toward the people of God. Now, what is it that we can learn from that? In the same way, we can all learn a lesson here of how we can be one who opens our home to God's people and show kindness unto them. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do, especially if you have children in your home, is you can have God's servants in your house. And you can expose your children to the Pauls of this day. You can expose your family to the preachers of this day. Now, some of you are going to think that I'm trying to preach that you need to have me over for Sunday dinner. I'm not saying that, but if you want to apply it that way, go ahead. But I am saying this to you here. I would encourage you folks, especially who have children in your home. Now, I may make you feel a little bit awkward. I'm not trying to do that. But you ought to take advantage of Graham Foran and his dear wife being home. You ought to take advantage of Brother Butch Abbott and his wife. You ought to take advantage of Brother Harry Vickers and his wife. You ought to take advantage of Preacher Lashley and his wife. You ought to take advantage of these preachers that we have come in. Now, I realize that they can't go into every home. I understand all of that. But you ought to be somebody who wants to be around the people of God, especially God's preachers. You know, God's preachers are special people, folks. They really are. I'm not saying I'm special, but I'm a preacher. And because I'm a preacher, God has given me a special privilege to get up and preach the Word of God. What a privilege it would have been for Carpus to say, "Oh, Paul, sure, he was in my home." I'm encouraging you here. What can we learn from this man? We learn that it's good to open your house, open your billfold, take them out to eat. Now, some of these preachers won't go out with you because they're afraid that you're going to crucify the pastor and all these kind of things. But the fact of the matter is if they clear it with me and all these kind of things, sure. Now, some of you, I don't want them going, "I'm just kidding with you on that," okay? All I'm trying to say is this. Take advantage when God's men come through this area, folks. When they come through, don't just come and listen to them. Fellowship with them. It's interesting that Carpus was a man that Paul knew where his coat was. Paul knew where his books were. He knew where the parchments were. They were at Carpus' house. There's a great lesson we can learn there. Then let me give you the next one in this lesson. Now, again, this is not one of those messages where there's one major thought. There's many. So I'm just trusting that one of these thoughts will hit you. The next person is found in verses 14 and 15. It's a man by the name of Alexander. Let's notice what the Bible says. Here's what Paul said. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." You know, Paul identifies this man as one who did him much evil and withstood their words. The word "withstood" here means to stand against, oppose, or resist. It's been said that the Greek here suggests that this person could have stood up to argue or dispute with Paul while he was speaking. Now, in all of this, we see Alexander was one who stood against God's word, and he stood against God's man. He then warns Timothy, "Beware of him, Timothy." Another scene this reminds me of. When I was studying, you know, it's amazing how scriptures just start coming to you whenever you see the major thought. Okay, he's withstanding God's word. He's withstanding God's man here. And immediately God will start bringing other thoughts from scripture to you. And the thought that God gave me was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. In Numbers chapter 16, I preach a message. I don't know if I've ever preached it here. I may have. If I haven't, I might bring it out again. But in Numbers chapter 16, this is when Moses was the man of God at this time. And if you remember the story, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they were men of renown. They were well known. They were people who everybody knew who they were. And they made a statement. They told Moses. They said that, I'm paraphrasing, that he's taking too much upon him. That they're all godly people. Who does he think he is to tell them what to do? Now, I'm paraphrasing. Moses asked a question, and this is the title of my message. He said, "Seemeth it a small thing to you that you are basically refuting against me?" I preach a message on, is it a small thing? Is it a small thing to rebel against God's man? It's interesting in that what God said. It's interesting what Moses said. You know what Moses did whenever Korah, Dathan, and Abiram withstood him and refuted him and rebelled against him and spoke out against him? You know what Moses said? Moses said, "I'll tell you what let's do. Let's let God choose. Let's let the Lord choose." And he goes to God, all in Numbers chapter 16. And God said, you tell the children of Israel, get away from them. Read it yourself. He said, you tell them to separate because I'm going to take them down. And he says, I'm going to have the earth open up and swallow them. Here it is. And he said, if they do not separate from them, they're going down with them. Read it yourself. And the earth opened up and swallowed that crowd whole. It is a dangerous thing to withstand the man of God who is preaching the word of God. Alexander was this kind of a man. In the same way, folks, we all need to learn the lesson that there are still those today who will stand in opposition to this blessed book. There are still those today who will stand in opposition to any man who tries to preach this book faithfully. There's still Alexanders everywhere. And I'm challenging you, and I trust we don't have one here. God, help us not to have one here. But it could be that sometime in the future that an Alexander will come into this church and sit down, and it may take a while. But God will take somebody like that down. He does not look lightly upon withstanding his word and withstanding his man. Now, it's not easy for a pastor to preach on that, you understand? Because I'm talking about me there. I'm talking about your Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about the bus captains. I'm talking about the pastor. I'm talking about those who faithfully stand to teach and preach God's word. If they're faithfully preaching the word of God, don't speak against them. If you do, you're going to destroy yourself. That's Bible. Then there's another one in verse number 16. This is a group of people. So I've entitled these, those who forsook Paul at first. Notice his language in verse number 16. At my first answer, now I'm gonna describe to you what he's talking about, his first answer. What's he talking about? He's talking about the first time he stood trial, okay? Now I'm gonna describe this later on, probably Sunday night when I get to point two, but just keep in mind, at my first answer, my first trial, if you will, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Here's those who forsook Paul at first. These have also been called the unfaithful anonymous. We don't know who they are, but we know they were unfaithful at this time. These are those who, when Paul was standing trial, they kept their distance. These may have been people who were with Paul when everything else was all right and going well. However, now when he's standing trial for his commitment to Jesus Christ, they're nowhere to be found. It's been said that these are those who never got close to the battle and were motivated by comfort, cowardice, apathy, and indifference. Those who never stick their head out, they may criticize, but they'll never cooperate. There's a crowd out there who may choose to be your closest friend when you're up on the mountain. But when you're in the valley and you're standing trial for your commitment to Jesus Christ, Paul had those who forsook him at that time. You know, there are those who will flee the scene when the heat gets turned up. We should all, now get this, folks. What can we learn from that? We can learn from that we ought to strive to be a faithful friend to God's word, God's people, God's men. I'm talking about in good times and bad times. I'm talking about when he's on the mountaintop, when he's in the valley. I'm talking about when people are applauding him and then when people are criticizing him. He needs some people who will go in the valley with him. These people right here were those who forsook him at first. I'm sure you've never had somebody like that, Brother Graham. Somebody that when the going got tough, oh, they were your friend when everything was fine, but when the going got tough and the heat turned up, you can't find them. until the bed of roses comes back again, and then they're the first one to knock on your door. Been praying for you, brother. There's a group like that. Don't be somebody like that, folks. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Be somebody who's going to be in it no matter how high the heat gets. Stick with it. Then there's another group in verse number 19. Another group. And that is Priscilla and Aquila. You can call them the faithful married couple. In verse number 19, look at them. Salute Prisca, that's just abbreviated for Priscilla, and Aquila. Now, it's one of those things where this is a message. All of these people deserve one message. But I just didn't feel liberty to take 14 messages right here, folks. I'll be honest with you, you know. I'm just wanting to highlight them a little bit and just give you some thoughts. In the pages of God's Word, we see that this Priscilla and Aquila is a married couple who served with Paul. They trained Apollos. They served God together. They opened their home for the things of God, and they stayed faithful to Paul through thick and thin. In all of this, we see a married couple committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope the Holy Spirit can help me get across what's in my heart. You know what every church around America needs? I say every church. This is one of them. Because it's every church you go into. It's sad that this is a blanket statement, but it is. You know what we need? We need married couples who say we're going to go all out for Jesus Christ. And we're going to do what God wants us to do. And we're going to be faithful training somebody. And we're going to open our houses and our homes to the things of God. And we're going to stay faithful until God calls us home. Can I make this statement? May I make this statement? We're all faithful to something. You are faithful to something or someone. And if it's anything or anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have missed what life is all about. Life is not about being faithful to sports or faithful, get this folks, don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. Life is not about you being faithful to your mate. That's not a high enough goal. Life is about you being faithful to Jesus. Because if you're faithful to the Lord, you will be faithful to your mate. If you're faithful to the Lord, sports will not become a priority in your life. You know how it must break the heart of God, and all I'm doing is just letting you listen in while I'm preaching to myself a little bit. Preachers are not perfect. If you're a preacher, can I get an amen right there, you know? We're not perfect. And so many times in my life, I catch something trying to dethrone God. I catch something trying to sneak up on the throne of my heart. It could be my own proud attitude. It could be my way. It can be something that I know is not right. It can be a hidden sin, a secret sin, whatever the case may be. I'm saying to you that the devil is constantly trying to dethrone God in our lives. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Isn't it amazing that the things of God get put on the back burner? Oh, I'll go out visiting, but I can't this week because my kids have ball games all week. And can I say something to you? You're training your kids too, folks. You're training them that the ball is a whole lot more important than souls. You ought to have a set time that you go out visiting and nothing interferes with it. I'm just giving you counsel here. You understand that, don't you? Does that mean everybody's going to do it? No. I didn't fall off the boat yesterday, folks. I know everybody's not going to do it. But you know in your heart I'm telling you the truth, don't you? You know I'm giving it to you straight. That we need to put God first in our marriages. By the way, you want a strong marriage? I look around an auditorium like this and I'm like, who am I to preach on strong marriages? You know? I mean, the Brubakers and of course, now, they've caused a separation between Brother Gary and his wife tonight, but that's all right. just playing. Preacher Miss Lashley, Brother Graham and his wife, Brother Bob and Charlotte, Brother Mosier and his dear wife, the Hayes. I mean, if I don't mention you, don't think I'm overlooking you. I'm just, you know, just as I see some of them. The Hodges sitting back. I mean, look at that. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. By the way, my 11th anniversary is tomorrow. 11 years. Man, it's felt like it's been 20. I'm just kidding with you, all right? What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you this. The greatest thing you can do for your marriage is stay faithful to God. If you as the man are faithful to God and she as the lady are faithful to God, are you listening? It's not a bed of roses, but you'll make it. You'll make it. You show me a marriage that's breaking up, or you show me a marriage that's broken up, and I show you a husband and or a wife that is in lack and they're lackadaisical in their faithfulness to Jesus Christ. That's a hard statement to swallow. I understand that. But it's a true statement. Stay faithful to God. My wife and I married almost 11 years if we live for 24 more hours. As a matter of fact, probably around right now, we had just been married or whatever the case may be. Our wedding was at 7 o'clock. My Moses right here tied the knot. All this. If we live 24 more hours, 11 years, it flies by. Anybody know it flies by? Yeah, sure. I mean, look. I mean, it's humbling to me to look around, and I'm looking at you now and just seeing all the faithful marriages in our church. Faithfulness. Years back here, I just see different people. Faithful. All of it, look at these faithful marriages. It's the way it ought to be. But on the flip side of it, I want to ask you this as a married couple. What are you doing for the Lord? I didn't ask, what are you doing for yourself? What are you doing for your marriage? What are you doing for your family? Forget that. What are you doing for Jesus? What are you doing for the Lord? When's the last time you and your wife went out and knocked on a door? Said, I want to tell you about the Lord. When's the last time? By the way, I'm reading a book by Tom Malone. He's with the Lord. What a mighty preacher. That old raspy voice. One of my favorite preachers when I was at Crown College. They'd bring him in, and I remember one night they asked me to go get him some cough syrup or something, and I was so excited because I thought I'd get to take it in to him, you know what I mean? In the Bethany house. And I got up there and they came out and got it, and it just deflated me, you know, just all this kind of stuff. But in that book, he was talking about a person in their church who left their church. Because they said, I can't stand being pressured all the time to tell people about Jesus. So they went to another church. I say this with all the love in my heart, and God knows my heart. But if you don't like being pressured about being a soul winner, you're in the wrong place, folks. Because you're going to get pressured. Because the Holy Spirit pressures us to do it. And if God tells us to do it, we need to be doing it. Amen? No doubt about that. By the way, if you're not doing it, does that mean get out? No, that's not what I said. We're glad you're here. But I'm just trying to get you to get the full blessing of the Christian life. Do something for God as a married couple. Then we go on. We go on to another group of people here in verse number 19. This is letter L. That would be number 12, I think. We notice in verse number 19, salute Priscilla and Aquila, there's a faithful couple. Notice the next phrase, and the household of Onesiphorus. So we have a faithful couple, now we have a faithful family, you see. We see in Scripture how Onesiphorus was one who visited Paul and he refreshed him in prison. His family was obviously dear to Paul's heart. They were a family who cared for Paul and was his friend. Now in this we see a faithful family. Faithful couple we just talked about. Now a faithful family in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the same way, we who have a family, I'm talking about children in the home, We should strive for our entire family to be faithful to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be great for entire families to serve the Lord together. Friends, on this mission trip that we're getting ready to take, and here in the area, when I'm visiting in the area, every now and then I'll take my boy with me, Judson. Now, I'm not going to take my girl with me yet. She's three, and by the way, she wants to be a preacher. And, you know, we're still working with her, but that's all right. Judson wants to be a ninja, and she wants to be a preacher. So anyway, you can tell that we've got a lot of work to do with the Jenkins household. Anyway, we see in this a faithful family, a faithful family. And, you know, one of the great blessings of pastoring, there's many of them, but one of the great blessings is when you see a family faithful. I mean, to the services, they're out helping something. I mean, just everlastingly at it. Faithful families. God give us faithful families. I mean, thank the Lord for faithful individuals. But it's a shame when a lady is more faithful than the man. Amen or not, folks. I mean, seriously. And vice versa. God never intended for the man to be more faithful than the lady or the lady more faithful than the man. He wants us to be faithful to Him together as a family. God is family oriented. One man, one woman for one lifetime. And as He sees fit, He blesses with the fruit of the womb. And when He does that, what an awesome responsibility. Some people say, well, I'm afraid if I don't let my kids do that, that they know's wrong, that I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. If that's your attitude, you've already lost them. I would rather my kids, and I hope my son doesn't quite understand this statement, but I would, because he's listening, but I would rather my kids hate me while they're at home and respect me when they leave than to be buddy-buddy with them in the home and they go to that, excuse me, they burn in hell for all eternity. Now, God never intended for children to hate parents and parents that, you know, a beautiful picture. But what I'm saying to you is God wants us to be faithful. What's He told you to do? You know, it takes faith to be faithful. Do you understand that? It takes faith to be faithful. Wait a minute. God told me not to do that. Well, everybody's doing it. Wait a minute. God said not to do that. And if God said not to do that, then by faith we remain faithful to Him, trusting that what we do will not return void. Faithful families. Then there's another group. There's two more. Hang in there now, folks. Hang in there. The next one is Erastus and Trophimus. Sounds like some kind of disease, doesn't it? What do you got? Erastus. That's what I've got. I've got Trophimus, you know. Look at it, verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, Erastus was one who ministered to Paul, was sent by Paul into Macedonia, and followed up the work in Corinth. Trophimus was one who worked alongside Paul and helped carry the Gentile offering to poor Christians in Jerusalem. Now in this, you know what we see? We see old friends. We see old, faithful friends who are just always there. You know, in the same way, there are those today who are faithful and everlastingly at it for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, if you have some old, faithful, godly friends, count your blessings. No doubt about it. That's who these were. He's just always there. Trophimus, he's always there. Paul's saying, hey, here's a rat. He abode at Corinth. He's still sticking with it. Trophimus, I had to leave him. He got sick, couldn't go anymore, whatever the case may be. But it took sickness to stop him, if you will. Now I'm telling you, old friends. Then the last thing, this is all point one. 14 whoppers underneath it. We not only see Erastus and Trophimus old friends, but in verse 21, we see new friends. We see this, "Do thou diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren." Paul's in Rome, and he's sending word, and he's saying, "Hey, Erastus is at Corinth. Trophimus, I left sick at Miletum. Alexander, he's a snake in the grass. Stay away from him. Priscilla and Aquila, they're just everlastingly at it. What a married couple it is. By the way, the family of Onesiphorus, greet them, if you wouldn't mind. Boy, they're just staying faithful as a family. Those old friends are staying with it, but by the way, I've got some new friends here with me. They're sending you some greetings, Timothy. They want me to say hi to you. Don't you see this? You know, isn't it a blessing that these people are those who had been brought into the family of God, and we understand that Paul is mentioning some new people here, and these were apparently brethren and friends in the area where Paul was. We know that Paul was a soul winner wherever he went. So some, if not all of these, could have been led to the Lord by Paul. In this, we see a group of people that are seemingly new to the scene. Now, in the same way, whether Paul led these to the Lord or not, we can all be challenged to be actively pursuing souls wherever we are. And in this way, we can see new Christians and friends being brought into the family as an encouragement. Isn't it good to have new people coming into the fold? I mean, it's just like a breath of fresh air. I mean, when I look at some of you all for as long as I have, I'm kidding with you folks, okay? You are the old friends. But even among us here tonight, we have some new friends. We have those who are new to the church. They're new friends. That's the way it ought to be. And in all of this list, what is it that we see? In this list of people, we see different types of people involved. When the Lord's work is being done, you have new, you have old. You have faithful, you have unfaithful. You have friends, you have enemies. You have faithful families, unfaithful families. Faithful marriages, unfaithful marriages. I'm telling you, let us strive to be part of the group who's making a difference for Jesus Christ. Amen? So through this list, let us be the Marks. Let us be the Tychicus. Let us be the Lukes and the Crescens and the Tituses. Let us be the Carpuses. Let us be the Erastus and the Trophimus and the Priscilla and Aquila and Onesiphorus and the family. Let us be the Pudens and Eubulus and Claudia and Linus. Let us stay away from being Demas and stay away from being Alexander. Let's be faithful to God until God calls us home. This is point one of Paul's final message, and it took us two goes to get through it. Now, God willing, Sunday night, the Lord willing, I'll give you point two and point three, and we'll proceed. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray, our Father, that you will help us this evening to learn the lessons from this list of people that Paul has given in his last message that he ever penned. Help us to understand what you're telling us. Speak to our hearts. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Maybe God is dealing with you tonight about which one on the list you are. Maybe you're like Timothy. You need somebody to train you in the things of God. Maybe you're like Demas and you've been forsaking the Lord for this present world. Maybe you're like Crescens, you're an unknown. Nobody necessarily knows your name per se. But you know God's given you a work to do, and you just need to be like Crescens and just be everlastingly at it. Maybe you're like Titus tonight. Maybe you're up in front of a class, or you're up in front of the bus route, or you're up in front of people. And maybe more people know your name than others. What's that mean? That means just keep faithful, folks. Just stay with it. Maybe you're like Luke. God's gifted you to do something special with your life. Maybe he may not call you to preach or even call you to teach, but you can be like the faithful doctor who came alongside Paul and help him in his ministry. Maybe Mark is how God's speaking to you. Maybe you've been on the sidelines sucking Gatorade and God's speaking to you, say, get back in the race. Get back on the firing line for me. Maybe Tychicus is how God's speaking to you. Take the word of God by gospel tracts and start saturating the area with them. Maybe God's speaking to you about, like Carpus, opening your home to faithful servants of God. God forbid it, but could there be an Alexander in our midst who withstands the word of God and withstands the man of God? Maybe there are those who forsook Paul at first, and God's speaking to you about being a faithful friend through thick and thin. Maybe you're a married couple and God's whispering in your heart, hey, boy, I bless you with your marriage. Be faithful. Be faithful to me. Serve me with your life. Serve me together. Maybe he's speaking to you as a family, like the house of Onesiphorus. Maybe you're like Erastus and Trophimus, or maybe you're thinking about an Erastus and a Trophimus, the old friends who are just always there for you. Do you have them? Do you know who I'm talking about? Maybe you want to come and thank God for them. Or maybe you're part of the new crowd. They haven't been here long. God's speaking to you about just staying with it. Or maybe the Lord's speaking to you about trying to bring new people in. I don't know how God's dealing with you. However he is, I trust that you'll be obedient to him. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts. These are many thoughts that's been given. And I'm begging you tonight, I'm asking you tonight to help us to heed the thoughts. Help us not to get away from the Word of God. Drive this in our hearts, what you'd have us to learn. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe God is dealing with you. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, maybe a faithful marriage of to the Lord, getting busy on, you know, serving God as a faithful couple or faithful family, you say, God is speaking to me. Grab your mate, bring them on, bring your family. However God's dealing with you, as Brother Gary sings, you come on now.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way just a moment. Hope you understand my statement to you a minute ago, that you're in the wrong place if you don't want to be pressured about soul winning. Please don't mistake that. Do you understand what I mean? When a pastor loves you, he's going to try to get you to do the things that God has told you to do. Amen? And witnessing and soul winning is one of those things. And I'm burdened about training you more, giving you more opportunities. What do you think the cancer ministry is about? What do you think the bus ministry is about? We think the John Sevier Center is about. We think the door-to-door ministry is about. What do you think the telephone ministry is about? By the way, the telephone ministry is doing a great job. God bless you. You're helping me tremendously. Keep it up. What's the bus family visitation about? What's the gospel tracts, the three different gospel tracts that we get in here for you? What's it about? What's it about? It's about getting the word out, folks. Aren't you glad somebody got the word to you? Amen. Now let's get it to as many as we can before he calls us home. Amen. And be faithful all the way through as a couple, as an individual, as a family. Stay away from Alexander. If you know an Alexander, get away from him. Because the earth's going to open up and swallow him before long. Amen. If you don't separate, he'll take you with him. Heed the warning, folks. May the Lord help us. Amen. It's good to see the Brubakers. God bless you. Faithful friends. I know I don't know you that well. I don't know you as well, Brother Gary. But I consider you a faithful friend. I hope you consider us the same way. Amen. It's going to be a great reunion day someday, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Amen. No doubt about it. Okay. This is a correction about Tim's mother. That was not Tim Wood's mother. That was Ruth, let's see here, her brother-in-law's mother. Okay? So this is a brother-in-law. It's his mother. Okay? Thank you for correcting that, whoever did that. God bless you. Okay? Because obviously we want to give the truth around this place. Amen? That's good. Great. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come and dismiss us in prayer. God bless you. I hope to see you on Sunday. You'll be right in your place.
Lord, we do thank you for these examples that we have in Scripture. Help us to learn from them. Help us not to be like those who had negative examples, but those that stayed by the stuff. They were faithful and did the job. May we finish strong. And Lord, we pray you just help us as a church family to be doing the work you've called us to do this week. Lord, we pray for your blessing and on the different ministries of the church. These new ministries that have just been started, those have been going on for years. Lord, help us all to be faithful doing our part that the work might be done. In Jesus' name, amen.